Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Exodus 13, 17 through 18. Those are the verses that we'll read. I'm reading out of the NIV. And it reads something like this. If you don't got it, it'll come up on the screens behind me. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. So good. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Amen. You might not know what that means yet, but I pray that by the time this is all said and done, you know. If you're taking messages, taking notes on this fifth part in this Free Indeed message series, I want you to entitle it this, The Pace of Freedom. The Pace of Freedom. Let's pray. Father God, once again, I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad. God, I thank you that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that was going to be here today. You're not surprised by who made it. You knew who was going to go to the tailgate party early and who was going to come to church first. And God, we thank you that it's no accident that they're here, God. And God, I pray that you open up hearts, minds, and ears and be receptive to a word that's always going to be about Jesus. May I lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. I pray that by the time this is said and done, that somebody will have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray these things in Jesus' name, and everybody set. Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise. Come on. Awesome. Thank you, Jimmy. Your fingers are magical. You're anointed. I love you. I never like to give you scripture without giving you context. So when we get to Exodus 13 and we read these scriptures, they're very interesting scriptures because this takes time, takes prominence after the moment that Pharaoh is just disgusted with the Hebrew people. If you don't know, the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians for what some believe to be about 400 years. And God sent all kind of plagues because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I mean, he turned the water into blood. He sent locusts. I mean, he sent frogs. Kill me. Just kill. If thousands of frogs just start to emerge, just kill me now, okay? I like, this is where they would have wrote me out the Bible. Like, frogs, no, I'm done, okay? It's just nasty. Locusts everywhere. Pharaoh's heart's hard. Finally, God's like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm pulling out the last straw. And he tells the Hebrew people, he says, I want you to kill a young lamb. Take the best of what you got. And I want you to take the blood of the lamb and I want you to paint it on your doorpost because I'm going to send an angel. And when I send this angel, he's going to kill the firstborn of everyone who does not have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And what happens is that the Egyptians don't know this secret, this major key. So what happens is the Israelites do this and they paint the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. And then at night, the Passover angel comes by and slaughters all the firstborn that don't have the mark, that don't have the visual, that have not been covered by the blood. How many of you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life that is found in Christ Jesus? The only reason that death cannot hold us is because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. So this Passover angel comes, slaughters all of these firstborn that don't have this blood on the doorpost. And the Bible says there's a wailing. There's an outcry in Egypt because all of these lost sons. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart became so disgusted with the Israelite people. He says, just get out of my presence. I'm done with, like, y'all have brought so much turmoil upon me. I need you to get away from me.
Some of you need to thank God for the people in your life that have rejected you, because their rejection was the only way to get you free. Some of you can be, oh, they don't like me no more. Thank God. They weren't good for you anyway. God's like, you should be happy when people are annoyed by you. God's going to make you annoying to somebody so that he could separate you from them. So he separates them. And I love this because they've been in slavery for 400 years. And the Bible says that the Hebrew people, they plundered Egypt. Man, they took the gold. They took the cattle. Could you imagine 600,000 men alone, not including women and children? Theologians believe it could have been anywhere to 1 million to 3 million people. They were slaves for 400 years, but then they take hold of everything that they could get, and they walk out of there with their chin up and their chest and their shoulders back, because they left slavery with more than they started with. How many of you know that God might want you to leave this season with more than you came in with? Be happy when they're done with you, because when you leave, you're going to take more than you had before you started. I love this story because this is the first time in hundreds of years that the Hebrew people are free. They've been in slavery. They've been in bondage. They didn't know what it felt like to be free. Like, this is freedom for real. They finally experienced freedom. I have never been in bondage like the Israelite people, but I do know a little something about freedom. I'll never forget when I was 17 years old and I went to college and left Carroll City, Florida for the very first time. I got out of my parents' house. Thank you, Jesus. It felt so, I love my parents. They're awesome. But I didn't want to be in my mama's house forever. So I went away. I went to college in Baltimore, Maryland, and I experienced true freedom. But like real freedom, like when you get freedom for the first time, it can be very shocking. Like, so I went to college. And I think college is great. I think if college is for you, go to college. But maybe you want to go to trade school. Maybe you want to just be an entrepreneur out the gate. There's so many ways to get there. Okay? But I went to college because there were certain technical skills that I needed to do the profession that I wanted to do at the time. So that's where I went to go get the edge. I needed somebody to teach me the stuff I didn't know to get where I wanted to go. So I went to college. Here's my problem with college. The problem with college is, though it teaches you many great things, it takes a bunch of people that have never been free before and puts them all in the same place and expects them to act like adults. I was 17. I was a kid. I was not I had a couple chest hairs popping out, but I was still, I was a kid. I was 17, and you put me in this environment with all these other 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and none of us knew what we were doing, and you expected me to act like an adult. You see, we were all free. The problem is, when you get that kind of freedom and you don't know what to do with it, you go crazy. It reminds me of that old movie that I love so much, Home Alone. I'll never forget the moment my parents drove off. They left me in that dorm room and I felt like Kevin McAllister. And I was like, I made my family disappear. I made my family disappear. Yo, let me tell you something. When you see, this is why I like this movie. Because when he realized that he made his family disappear, he went crazy. He destroyed everything in the house. He crushed his big brother's bed. He destroyed that room. I got a big brother. I would have probably done the same thing because he used to annoy me when I was a kid. I mean, he went to town. But then all of a sudden, there was a moment in the movie that after he went crazy, responsibility set in. He was like, wait, I'm here by myself. I can't keep acting crazy like this. eventually, like this little Kevin, 9 years old, he gets like a courage and a boldness about him, and he goes down into the basement in that scary furnace that he was scared to talk to. He's like, man, shut up. And he washes his clothes. He starts going to the grocery store. This little 9-year-old kid gets really responsible. See, there's always gonna come a moment where when you have too much freedom, if you're not careful, you can go crazy. I've seen this firsthand. When I went to college, there were people that were so high, they did not know how to operate when they were not high. There's one party I went to in particular. Yes, your pastor went to parties. There's one party I went to in particular. I can't make this up. I went to art school, so people was crazy. This one dude was so high. I don't know what he was high on. But he was on the third floor of a row house, okay? It's like, you ever seen like the Cosby Show and they had like the row houses, the houses that are in a row and they got different stories, right, with the balcony. This dude was on the third story of a row house. We were all partying and he was like on the balcony of the row house. I don't even know. He was, man, I'm just living my life, man. My man does like a half gainer off of the third story of a row house, falls on the ground. I was like, Johnny's dead. There's no way. He can't survive that. He's done. We all go down. The paramedics are there. We see Johnny being wheeled off in the car. He's like, yeah, man. I can't make this up. A week later, Johnny comes to school full like top cast, like a body cast, and he broke his arm too. So it's the cast with the arm part connected. So his arm is like stuck like this. I'm like, Johnny, man. I'm like, yo, how'd it feel to fall off of three stories? Johnny was like, I didn't feel a thing, man. He didn't even have to put up his thumbs up because his arm was stuck like that. I tell you this crazy story because I just want you to hear this very simple point that I hope you take with you. Freedom without framework is futile. If you got freedom and you don't begin to create some boundaries, you're going to go crazy. There are so many people that take God's grace for granted. They're like, I'm free. I'm free. Just because Jesus Christ has set you free doesn't mean you have the freedom to be stupid. Like you have to create a framework. You have to create a structure. So many times I see believers and they're like, yeah, I'm just living in my freedom. But then when you see them living, they living like the devil. Like you must create some type of framework for your freedom because you have to be responsible with the freedom that you have. Like, I know that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, but I don't take my freedom for granted. I trust and believe in Christ and know that his plans for me are better than the ones that I have for myself. So I operate in freedom, but I allow the framework of God's word to dictate the direction of my life. Freedom without framework is futile. I can trust God's plans for my life because I know that he has better plans for me. And I love God because God is always conscious to pace your freedom. Like, could you imagine if God threw everything at you at once? Could you imagine if you had every promise in the Bible just drop on your lap one time? You wouldn't know what to do with it. Like, you wouldn't appreciate it. Because how you know that's true? Because people have won the lotto. So I know. People, man, there's statistics that will tell you that a majority of the lottery winners, when they get that big lump sum, a couple years later, they're more broke than they were before they got the money. Because they got too much that they were not ready for. Listen, I trust God to pace my freedom because just because something is good doesn't mean I need to have it all at once. And because I trust God to pace my freedom, I got to know that the road most traveled is not always the best road. It's not. Look what the Bible says. Exodus 13, 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through Philistine country, though it was shorter. I love that. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. What is God saying in layman's terms? He's saying, if you rush this, it might be over before it starts. If you rush this thing, It might be, now you have to understand, like I said, there were 600,000 men, could have been anywhere from 1 million to 3 million people. They leave Egypt. They plunder this thing. God sets them up on this journey. And I love that it says that he does not take them on through Philistine country. Why is that important? Because Philistine country, if you ever looked at a map, it rides along the coast from Egypt to Jerusalem. So why is that important? Philistine country, there was a route that the Hebrew people could have went that was a trade route. It was a route that had been walked many times before. Spices, grain, wheat, all those things Egyptians would trade with all the other countries that were along that coastal route. And they would take that route because it was the fastest way to transport the things that they needed to transport. God says, I'm not going to take you that way. I'm not going to take you the way that everybody is used to going. And I could talk about it. It's better if I show it to you. So look at this map. Look at this. It's beautiful. So on this side, way over here, you see it says Egypt. And then it has a number one. This takes you through all the different points of the Hebrew journey, right? So they leave Egypt. Now the trade route that I was talking about, if you see the top, it says the Great Sea. That coastline, that's all Philistine country. So in essence, what could have happened, God could have said, I want you to walk through Philistine country. And he would have walked them from the top Egypt all the way up to the coastline until they got all the way to the land of Canaan. You see Jericho up there. We know that Joshua won the Battle of Jericho. He goes over the Jordan River. He goes into Jericho. He wins that battle. Then they go into the land of Canaan. But God says, I don't want you to take the Philistine route. It's the fast route. But that's not what I want you to do. Look at what he does. He actually makes the Hebrew people go down. And then look, you see they go through that little piece of water right there. That's the Red Sea. So they go through that. They walk all the way down to Mount Sinai. Then not only do they walk all the way down to Mount Sinai where they get the Ten Commandments, they walk all the way back up. This is now through the wilderness. They actually go in a circle. They turn back around, come up to the other side of the Jordan River, have to cross the Jordan River, get to Jericho till finally they could settle in the land of Canaan. It took 40 years because they were making circles in the desert when they could have just walked up the coast to the Philistine trade route. Now, I know some of y'all looking at this like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Why don't they do that? Well, okay, so now we're going to use modern technology to see what this 40-day journey could have, this 40-year journey could have been. Show this next one. So I went on Google. I love Google. Google Maps. And I mapped it. Now, they did not have modern roads back then, obviously. We have modern roads now. So I mapped it on Google. I like it because you don't have to just do a driving route. You can actually do a walking route on Google. So if you map this, you can go home and do it yourself. From Cairo, Egypt, all the way up to Jerusalem, you can take modern roads. And what it tells you is that it will take you 149 hours, which is 727 kilometers or 452 miles of walking, which equates to 6 days. A 40-year journey in modern times with modern roads could have happened in 6 days. But look at this. Even this path is still longer than the trade route. You could walk up the coast, because how many of you know that the shortest distance between two points is what? A straight line. If they'd have walked straight from Egypt to Jerusalem along the coast, if now this 6 days is them walking nonstop, and you know we can't do that. I know I can't do that. I can't walk 6 days now. I got to stop. I got to get sandwiches. I got to take naps. I got to do all that stuff. Okay? They didn't have modern roads, but their journey would have been shorter if they did not even take modern roads. They could have walked straight up the coast. Could y'all, I mean, talk about a walk on the beach. They could have had a nice walk on the beach. And most theologians believe that if they went in a straight line, it probably wouldn't take them 6 days. It probably would have taken them 11. Because once again, you're transporting 3 million people and they got to stop. They got livestock. They're doing all that. But they made an 11-day journey take 40 years. How crazy is that? I believe that there's many reasons that God made them take the long way. You ever been driving, and maybe it happened to you this morning, you're just driving like, and you go the route that you always go. Y'all got like a route to go certain places? I'm paranoid, man. I be switching on routes. I'm like, I know somebody following me today. But some of y'all got routes that you always go. And when you go those routes, don't you get annoyed when you see those big orange signs that say detour? It's so annoying because it's like, I know the way to go. I don't want no detour. And 9 times out of 10 with a detour, you can't even see what the problem is. But they have routed you through all of this stuff, and it's so annoying. It's like, why are you taking me around? If I just go through, it's going to be okay. But they have created a detour. Detours don't mean that you can't get to your destination. They just mean that they're trying to take you around something that may potentially stop you from getting to your destination. Some of you have encountered some God detours that he has placed in your path, and you're mad about it, but God knows. He's like, yo, if you go that way, you definitely won't get to your destination. As a matter of fact, you're going to get so frustrated, you're going to go back home. Detours are trying to stop you from quitting on the journey by giving you another option. Now, yes, they may take longer, but it's not always healthy to go the same way that everybody else goes. See, some of us get so frustrated, and God knows us because we want to go the way that somebody else went, but God won't send you that way, because if you encounter what they encountered along the road, you'll turn around and go home when they would have kept on going. So God says, I got to put a detour in your way. Like, what I have learned in life, and this is for me because I always want to get somewhere fast, man, I've learned to enjoy the detours. You got to appreciate the detours of life. Like, you see people with their Instagram success and you wonder why, like, your page ain't popping. You like, man, I look better than them. How they got more followers than me? I put all the filters on. I hit all the angles. How they got... Or how they business on IG popping and I sell the same thing, but I sell a better product, but they selling like crazy and I can't sell nothing. Stop trying to do it the way that somebody else did it. There's more than one way to market yourself. Take a detour. There's folks out there, man. You know all the relationship goals. Hashtag bae. You want that perfect relationship. You want that perfect picture, even though you know that the person that took it was fighting right before they took it. You read all the manuals, all the books, heard all the podcasts on all the stuff you're supposed to do to be a woman of favor or a man of God so that you can get your husband or your Boaz. You did all that stuff and you still single. You still single, and now you think something is wrong with you. Stop trying to do it the way everybody else do it. Stop looking for tall, dark, and handsome when you should be looking for short, pale, and that's something else. Some of y'all laughing because you know it's true. Some of y'all got so mad. That ain't what God promised me. Okay, stay alone. Some of you want 34, 26. You want that 36, 24, 36, but you need to be looking for the 24, 36, 24. Listen. Stop trying to go the way that you think you know. Take the detour. What's meant for everybody ain't meant for you. Just because the world has said that a certain thing or a certain aesthetic is successful or is right, it doesn't mean that that's the aesthetic for you, because what God declares successful is successful. Y'all ain't clapping because y'all want that tall, dark, and handsome. Some of you see folks on the platform. I want it, but why I ain't up there? Well, one, you ain't audition. I love that. Hey, man. Well, I got more talent. How come they don't ask me to do that stuff? Listen. Stop trying to do it the way everybody else did. You know what you need to do? Serve. And be humble about it. Because God exalts the humble. And he tears down the proud. Don't worry about how somebody else got up here. Some of y'all see me like, man, how you got up there? Yo, I did not go to school for this. God put me here. He put me here because I served inside. And I don't have to brag about it, but I was doing a lot of stuff before I was ever a pastor. You serve your way in humility. I don't have to go the route everybody else took. I took the detour. It might have took me longer, 13 years, but man, it was worth it. Don't worry about the way that somebody else goes, because here's the thing. You got to take the detour. You got to go around. It may seem like it's taking longer, but God is not slow. His timing is actually perfect. It just may seem slower than what you're comparing yourself to. It's like, God is slow. No. What you're comparing him to, though, may make him seem slow when he's actually moving at a perfect pace. See, some of y'all are like some of y'all move so fast you miss the detour. Can I tell you that speed is overrated? It's so over. I gotta get there fast. No, you don't. Like, you ever been this South Florida, so I know you've seen this. You ever been driving on the road and you look in your rearview mirror and you already know it's gonna be a problem? You see this person behind you. Zip, 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 zip. They're just jumping through traffic. Somebody laughing like, that's me. Zip, 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 zip. And they do all this zipping, and then you know they're going to pull up beside you. You already know what's going to happen. They're going to cut you off. And you be like, you mother father. You start saying all kind of Christian cuss words in your head. You upset. Zip, 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 zip. They did all that zip, 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 zip. And then the stoplight comes, and they only right in front of you. You know what that's called? Going nowhere fast. Going nowhere fast. Somebody want to do stuff so fast, but you better thank God he has slowed you down. Like, I always want to go somewhere fast, but I'm so thankful for the times that he slowed me down. Some of us need to be slowed down because God is sparing you when he's slowing you. I want to get married right now. Slow down. I know for, this going to be, stop. Stop. Like, you know what makes me the happiest as a pastor? I love marriage. I will advocate marriage. I've been married for 13 years. I love you. Distracted. I'm going to look this way. I lost my train of thought. I love marriage. I advocate for marriage. But you know what brings me joy? Brings me joy when people that have been wanting to get married, they know they shouldn't be married, and they give me that phone call. They say, Pastor, I know we was engaged for a while, but I'm thinking that we shouldn't do this because we ain't right for one. You know what I do? I say this. Praise God. Because you have just spared yourself from a lifetime of misery. Somebody getting deliverance over there. Like, some people like, I want to get married, I want to get married. And you know what? The only reason you get married is because you've been in the engagement so long, you want to look stupid by pulling out of it. But I'd rather look stupid before the engagement than to look dumb after the marriage. Just because you're doing something for a long time doesn't mean you need to keep doing it. Man, I hope that sets somebody free. There are some things you just need to stop doing now. It will say, because if you continue just because it's what you're used to doing, it could lead to your downfall. Pull away. It's okay, man. No judgment zone. I will be the first one there smiling at your non-wedding. Because then I don't have to counsel you after. So you're like, man, you mean? The Bible said it. I didn't. So like, I don't want to move so fast. You ready? Like, you're like, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday today, but I'm gonna have a real victory tomorrow when I quit my job. Stop. Stop. I'm quit. Some of y'all, I'm preaching this right now. You've been writing your resignation letter in your head. You done seen how you're gonna tell your boss off tomorrow. You are late today. Well, I'm about to be late forever because I ain't coming back. I'ma go in tomorrow and give them a piece of my, Like, why people bop when they like, Like, stop. Like, why you letting go of the life raft and you ain't even grab a hold of the boat yet? Don't quit. Like, I'ma quit so I could be a CEO. You don't even know how to be a good employee yet. CEO of who? Because if you get the CEO or more of you,
I was trying to think of a good rhyme and I couldn't get one fast enough. Shoot. Like, stop, man. Stop rushing into stuff without a plan. You never let go of something unless you know you're about to grab a hold of something else. God told me to quit. No, he didn't. You told yourself that because you don't have a heart to serve. You cannot lead unless you know how to follow. I didn't just appear here. This is 13 years in the making. And if I had it my way, I'd have stayed serving at somebody's church forever. But I did not grab a hold until I already knew. I did not let go until I already knew there was something to grab a hold of. Just like bless yourself tomorrow. Go to work and work well. Do it with a heart of a servant. And God will see you and in time promote you. I know for a pastor, oh, I need you to get in on this with me, man. I just found a deal of a lifetime, man. Ooh, hey, if we get this rental property right here, right now. Stop. You want to go in sight unseen. You ain't check it. The roof probably leaking. It's probably all, like, stop. Ooh, I heard about this Bitcoin. You don't even know what Bitcoin is. Stop. Like, every opportunity, even though it's good, may not be good for you. Slow down. We want to keep pace with the rest of the world when God's saying, man, I got a pace to grace. Go at my pace, not everybody else's pace. Don't do something just because everybody else is doing it. Don't do it because somebody else made a lot of money off it. That's somebody else's destiny. It's not yours. Don't just do it because it's being done. Do what God has called you to do for you. The Bible says in Psalms 37 that the steps of the righteous, there's order to them. They're ordered by the Lord. Stop following in somebody's footsteps when you should be focusing on God's finger, because he'll point you in the right direction. And so many people that are just caught up with the wrong thing. They're so focused on the short road or the fast road or the road most travel, but those may not be the best roads for you. And finally, the band comes back up. Maybe the road's not the issue. Maybe you're supposed to get off the road and into the water. Exodus 13, 18 says, so God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. I love that. It says, the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. So I'm going to break down this verse backwards. I'm going to talk about the second part, then I'm going to talk about the first part, because I really want to give you a good context and understanding. It says, the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Didn't I just say in verse 17 that God took them on a detour so that they could avoid a battle with the Philistines? But why would this verse come back and say that the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle when God took them on a detour to avoid a battle? Just because God takes us away from the battle doesn't mean that we shouldn't live ready to fight it. Just want you to hear that today. Don't think I'm avoiding you because I'm not ready to fight. I'm just choosing not to. I'm making a conscious decision not to get involved with that. Like, sometimes it's not worth giving people a piece of your mind. It's just not even worth it. Like, they may deserve it, and you might be ready, but it's not worth it. Like, sometimes it's not worth saying, I told you so. They know they messed up. Stop. Like, sometimes it's not worth, like, trying to win the argument. You want to be right or you want to be happy? It's not worth saying everything in your head. Fine, you're smarter than the rest of us. We don't need to hear it. Like, sometimes it's just not worth saying certain things. Like, believers, Christian men, like Christian men and women, we would do so much better if we just kept our mouth shut sometimes. Just because we have the ability and the power to do something, just because we ain't sin for somebody, doesn't mean that we got to show them the receipts when they show up. Like, chill. Just stop. Quiet. Don't say anything. Some of you are literally talking yourself out of victory because you're saying too much. Real power, it comes in restraint. Look at Jesus on the cross. They mocked him. This is God on a cross.
If you're the Son of God, why don't you come down from that cross?
Jesus ain't say none of them fools. He could have literally pulled them. Okay, hold up. What now? Host of angels come from heaven, slaughter everybody that put him up there. What did he do? God forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is power in restraint. Just because you can fight doesn't mean that you should. So the Hebrew people had the ability to fight, but God took them away from the fight. And for the person, just by the way, the person that we can tell off and don't, person that deserves to hear us, but we don't take grace for granted. I just want you to hear that, because the reason that we don't tell you off, and we probably should, is because we understand that love and grace and mercy can take the relationship farther. I don't have time to be telling people off. I don't have time to be telling people down. I want to take the rest of my life to build relationships with people, not destroy them. So don't take, just want to say that, don't take the grace for granted. The Israelites were ready for battle, but they did not go towards the battle, they went towards the sea. For the Bible says, so God led the people around the desert road to the Red Sea. If I'm ready to fight, like, God, why are you directing me away from the battle and taking me towards the sea? And I asked the Holy Spirit that, and his response to me was this: don't stay on the road when God's called you to the water. Don't stay on the road. Oh my goodness, I wish you could understand how heavy that is. Don't stay on the road when God has called you to the water. In other words, let God take you away from something you were prepared for and point you in the direction of something that he has prepared for you. I want you to hear that. God's going to pull you away from something you were ready for, prepared for, so he can point you in the direction of something that he already had prepared for you. See, God wanted to show the Israelites that they needed him not just to be free, but to guide their freedom. They didn't just need God to get them out of the hands of the Egyptians. They needed God to pace their freedom. I love to drive. When I think, I like driving. I just like moving because there's a freedom to it. And one of my favorite places to drive, I've done it a few times, but I like driving to Daytona. Daytona's cool. Because Daytona, at a certain point, when you're driving, you can literally get off the road and you can drive your car right onto the beach. It's really awesome. It's really cool. I like doing it because I can't do that in South Florida. So you drive up, you drive off the road, and you're literally driving on the sand, and you point your car in the direction of the water. And there's times where I've driven off the road, I've driven onto the sand, and I sit in my car and I just look at the water. I like looking at the water because I like seeing the horizon, and I like thinking about all the places that God can take you beyond the horizon. There's so many times in my life, man, I've been all over the world, man. Been to Greece, I've been to Paris, I've been to Sydney, Australia, I've been to Costa Rica, I've been to Quebec. I've been so many different places in the world. I've touched all seven continents except Antarctica, and I pray to God he never sends me there. And when I'm sitting in my car on the beach looking at the horizon, I imagine that I remember all the places that I've been. But you know what I also do? I think about all the places I still got to go. I'm like, man, right beyond that horizon line is Tokyo. Right beyond that horizon line is Iceland. Right beyond that horizon line is Tahiti. There's so many places in the world that you can go, but the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit as I sat in my car and I looked out at the ocean that God leads you to the water, because there's only so far you can go on the road. There's only so far. You see, if I want to go beyond the water, I don't care how you slice it, eventually I got to get out of my car. I got to get off the road and go beyond the water. You see, the Israelites had a date with destiny that wasn't on the road. That's why when he first let them out of Egypt, God did not take the normal trade route. He says, forget the road. I'm going to take y'all through the sea, because I have to take you through something that you see and let you know that I see beyond the sea. And I'm going to take you to the wilderness, because if I don't take you through the wilderness, I can't get you to the promised land. If I let you get the promise too fast, you won't appreciate it. So I'm going to take you to a point that your feet can no longer help you. I'm going to take you to a point where you can look beyond, but you cannot go through without me. See, I love my God, because when we only see the sea, he sees beyond the sea. There are people in this room right now, and I know folks, they say, man, I've never left South Florida, because I'm scared of planes and boats and everything else. And I feel sorry for you, because there is so much of God's world you will never see, because you can't get off the road and see beyond the sea. There's a big world out there, and God wants you to live in freedom. And Jesus wants you to live in a freedom that gets you off the road and takes you beyond the water, the impassable place. But you got to trust him. You have to trust him. It may take a little longer to get to the places that you want to go, but trust me, there's a pace to grace that allows you to move in true freedom. If I can be honest, I know a lot of people that are terrified of Christianity because they're scared to get off the road and have faith to go beyond the water. I'm gonna stay where I'm comfortable because I can control it. I can't see myself going to that next place, because that next place is gonna require something out of you, and it's called faith. I don't know who I'm talking to in this place today, but some of y'all been stuck on the road, and God's saying, I never meant for you to stay there, because it's only for so far the road can go. I wanna take you to another place. Are you willing to trust me to take you beyond the water? We know the story. Moses sticks the staff in the water, and God creates a way where there is no way. There's a pace to grace. There's a pace to freedom. God may not do what you want right now, but he's pacing you, because he's already seen beyond the sea. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know who I'm talking to in this room today, but if you got here, God wanted you here. And there's folks that say, man, I ain't gonna lie, it's been hard for me to accept Jesus, man. Like, it's hard for me to take that step, because it's something I don't know. Like, I see the water, but like, I'm scared. It's so much easier for me to stay on the road. Like, I could control it. I'm behind the wheel. I could stay here. Listen, you got to get out of your car to get beyond the water. You got to release the steering wheel and let God take you to places that you can't go yourself. Say, I want faith in Jesus, but I'm stuck on the road. Today I'm asking, will you trust God to take you beyond the sea? Maybe you've accepted Jesus before, but you say, man, I can't deal with that kind of freedom, man. I want to go back. Listen, man, don't go back. Continue to go forward, because God will always take you farther than you could take yourself.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.